Hey, Chad, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah.
How about...
No, not again.
Okay, what about...
I just saw that last week.
Okay, oh,
I got it.
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So, what lies beneath?
Michelle Pfeiffer.
I wish.
Hey-o!
Hey! Ah, I see what you did there.
Yeah. So, just kind of first impressions, what did you think?
I think that it is a remarkably stylish movie that turns into another movie, and both of them do a really good job of their individual pieces, but running them together was a bit of a missed opportunity.
Fair enough.
So, well, go ahead.
Yeah. This week we're talking about What Lies Beneath. It's a 2000 film starring Michelle Pfeiffer and Harrison Ford, directed by Robert Zemeckis, who did Back to the Future, all three of them,
mm-hmm.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit. You know, he's got some really good movies under his belt as director. It was written by Clark Gregg, or Agent Coulson, from mm-hmm. the Marvel movies. Music by Alan Silverstreak, who did music for... Captain America, The First Avenger, The Avengers. I think he did work on Forrest Gump. I mean, this is kind of a who's who of people in front of the camera and behind the camera. And it was a DreamWorks picture. So, I mean, it just, as far as everything being put into it, it was...
Had a good pedigree.
Had a good pedigree, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Has a good pedigree.
Has, yes.
You can still find this movie.
Yeah, you can. It's on Netflix. So... The movie opens up with Claire Spencer getting her daughter ready to go off to college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her and her husband Howard are, you know, they're just kind of milling around the house, getting ready, loading up the car. Typical taking the kid off to college. The mom doesn't, you know, she says she's fine and then doesn't want to let the kid go. Has to be pulled off by the husband, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm.
Typical beginning to what could have been a Randy College coming of age movie.
Yes, exactly. And while they're doing that, their neighbors across the, you know, across the way are out in the yard arguing. And by the way, this is kind of a very upscale Vermont neighborhood. They live on a lake, you know, it's he's a professor
of genetics.
She's a former concert cellist, you know.
Oh yeah, we're in prime yuppie territory here.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And the neighbors across the way are arguing out in the yard. And, you know, it's like, well, that's the second time this week. And,
that just doesn't happen.
Yes. So.
Aren't I superior?
So, you know, they take the kid off to college. They come back. Later that night, they're getting ready for bed. They hear the neighbors making up. And they decide to make up too. You know, even though they didn't argue.
Can we take them?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. then Claire notices that the neighbor wife isn't around. Well, no, first there's an encounter.
Mm-hmm.
She's outside. She's had a panic attack. She's been going through some old photos, and we see glimpses of what, you know, her life was before. We see the cello sitting in the corner, still in its case.
Mm-hmm.
We see her going through a scrapbook. And we see this Polaroid of a very damaged car that says for insurance, 1999.
Mm-hmm.
We have no other context for that. But at that, she starts having this panic attack and runs outside, where she encounters the neighbor who's in her yard sobbing. She tries to, talk to her over the fence. You know, are you okay? What's going on? And the neighbor, Mary, is like, I don't even know you. I'm sorry you heard this. Oh my God, he's back. Forget you, you know, you heard me, and runs into the house. Okay, weird.
Well, that's terrifying for a lot of reasons.
Yeah. And so she tries to, what did I call her husband earlier? It's Norman. I don't know I don't know if
Spencer.
I said Norman. Yeah, well, Norman, Spencer's their last name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Norman is the husband played by Harrison Ford. She's trying to tell him what happened and that maybe they should go over and be neighborly. And it's like, no, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Well, then the neighbor lady goes disappearing. She's just gone for several days. No, you know, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also at this time that Claire starts to notice things around the house. Things are not quite right. The door won't stay shut. A picture frame falls off, not off the wall, off a shelf.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just things that keep happening in the house.
You best exercise that son of a...
So, she and one of her friends late one night when Norman's not around, get out a Ouija board. You know, it's silly, mm-hmm. but... And there's some good jump scares in this.
Yeah.
But then after that, things really ramp up in the house. The computer flicks on by itself and just starts typing the letters M-E-F, just over and over and over and over again.
Which she interprets as the ghost of her neighbor.
Yes. Mary Fuhrer.
Yeah.
Yeah. The bathtub is suddenly full of water and there's steam everywhere and she goes to pull... There's nothing in there. She goes to pull the drain, and when she looks over in the reflection of the water is somebody standing behind her, a female, very pale and gaunt, and there's nobody behind her. Things like this keep happening over and over again, but only to her. Mm-hmm. She's not she's absolutely sure that what she's seen is real. Nobody else is very sure of it.
Mm-hmm. It almost becomes a textbook example of gaslighting.
Yes.
You're not really seeing this.
Yes, you know? Exactly.
Which really makes the psychologist character pretty good about it.
Yeah.
Because the psychologist character, straight up, no judgments, just like, if you're seeing this, try to contact it.
Yeah, yeah. She goes to see a psychiatrist, and that's, you know, try and talk to it.
Typical psychologist. Let's talk about everything to everyone. For all of our psychologist listeners, that was a joke. Please don't add us and don't unsubscribe. We value your listenership.
Yeah.
Don't laugh. I'm being serious.
I'm sorry. So the picture frame falls off and breaks again after it was replaced. And as she's cleaning it up for the second time, what was in the picture frame was a newspaper clipping of when her husband won an award or a grant or something. But on the back of it, there's a little cutout of an article, you know, on the other side of the paper of another woman who went missing, whose initials are M-E-F.
Mm-hmm. Well, we just get Mary Elizabeth.
Yeah, Mary Elizabeth. Yeah, Mary
and
Elizabeth.
And she looks it up.
And she looks it up on, you know... Whatever
on,
state they're
on late
in.
90s, you know.
Oh my
internet.
God. Yeah. So
by the by, when was the last time that as you scrolled, the search engine made noises?
Yeah.
Like as you scrolled down the Google page, it went like.
Well, that would be the mouse. The mouse had a, you know, kind of feature to it. But so, yeah, we're talking. Yeah. But amplified. So we're talking 2000 era technology. So big CRT computer monitors, pictures that take, you know, they pixelate into focus.
Oh, man.
They had a landline in their house for phones.
Yeah, I bet that's one of the last scary movies to do that.
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
That'd be interesting to see what that... Different topic. We'll talk about that on the other podcast sometime.
So she searches for missing people. M.E. finds it that, you know, Madison was her name.
Mm-hmm.
Her initials were M.E.F.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we have a new thing. So she starts asking the husband. It's like, do you know, who, you know, hands him a print. Do you know this person? No. You know, I don't. Things get progressively worse, and she starts really digging down deep into this. She goes to talk to this girl's mom, And while she's there, she finds a lock of Madison's hair. Well, she takes it so she can...
Not creepy at all, by the way.
Not creepy at all, you know. Thanks, Michelle Pfeiffer. At this point, we don't know what happens, but she's holding the lock of hair, and she's dressed very seductively, and Norman comes home, and she's not acting herself. You can tell this is not Claire.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's seducing him. She's got him on
aggressively.
Aggressively.
Oh, this is the most uncomfortable part of the movie.
Yes. Aggressively. You know, she's got him down on the desk. She's ripped his shirt off. And
this is a new shirt.
Yeah. That at that point, my spouse looks at me and goes, why is he worried about the shirt?
Changes in behavior are always cause of concern.
Yeah. And she's there, and she turns and looks over her shoulder, and in the mirror, we also see, you know, Claire standing there in the rain. It's not raining, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
In the rain.
Also, the door is shut.
Yeah, the door is shut, and in the mirror, she's, you know, in the rain, drenched, looking very concerned and sad and confused. Claire turns back to Norman and says, I think she's starting to suspect. Who? Your wife. And then for a split second, her face changes. Norman knocks her off, and the lock of hair she had in her hand the entire time goes flying out of her hands, and she kind of comes to her senses. Later, it's discovered that, yes, he did know her. He had an affair with her.
Yeah.
And then she went missing. He tried to break it off, and she said, well, then I'll just kill myself, and then she disappeared. Mm. So Claire leaves to, you know, just kind of get away.
Mm-hmm.
She finds out that one of her friends knew about it. And that's when we find out that she had been in an accident, a car accident, that mm-hmm. Polaroid, a year earlier. And she was having some memory problems. Now she remembers the affair. She mm-hmm. knew about it. Now she remembers Madison. Madison had shown up to a party where
right.
they were at, which put Claire into hysterics, which caused the accident she was in. So she goes back home to Norman to try and at his begging,
mm-hmm.
you know, to try and make things right. And through it all, she found this key in the house somewhere.
Yep. There's a key in the heating vent
yeah.
or something.
Well, she's out and about one day and sees an exact copy of this key in a lockbox.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, during one of her many tiny possessions, she goes down to the lake and jumps in,
mm-hmm.
dives down to the bottom, uncovers a chest, and then is at the last second is saved.
Right.
So late one night, she goes down to the lake, retrieves it, unlocks it. There's a necklace in there that she also recognizes from out and about.
Mm-hmm.
And puts everything together. This is a box of Madison's stuff.
Right.
In their lake.
Mm-hmm. Specifically the bottom of it.
Yes.
It's problematic.
Yes. Oh, you know, right by their house. So mm-hmm. Norman comes down and she presses him for an answer. He says, you know, I had the affair. I came home and she had taken pills and she'd killed herself right here in the house. I didn't know what to do. I put her in her car.
What would this look like?
Yeah, what would this look like? She was going to destroy us and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was already dead. I didn't know what to do. I put her in her car and drove her to the dock and out into the lake and threw the box in. And, you know, she wanted you to have that box and it was going to try and tear us apart. And so right. she hands him the phone and says, we need to get her out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So he dials 911, reports it, and he says, well, I guess I better go get dressed because it's the middle of the night.
Yeah.
The next scene is she's walking up the stairs wearing the necklace, which means she's not entirely herself.
Mm-hmm.
At least we presume that.
You get the sense that when she wears things of Madison's, that Madison's the one in control.
Yes. So you hear the shower going and whatever, and she sees the phone sitting on the desk, and she picks it up and hits redial, and it's 411.
Yeah.
And suddenly, Norman's right behind her
mm-hmm.
and uses chemical he's been working on to paralyze her. She's yep. fully awake.
Fully aware, but paralyzed.
But paralyzed. And he puts her in the tub, puts the plug in, and starts to fill it up. And even has a conversation with the dog while he's talking to her. You know, he's very...
As a matter of fact about the whole thing.
Yeah. So, as she's trying to save herself because the chemicals are wearing off, Norman sees something like, well, what do you have around you? And he kind of lifts her up, sees the necklace, and lays her back down, and she morphs into this corpse-looking thing, scares the shit out of him. He slips and falls, cracks his head on the sink.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens next, and I know we're going long with this. Yeah. What happens next is this... Yeah, very suspenseful. She has to get out of the house. Where is he? Oh, he's on the floor bleeding, but he's got the phone in his pocket and it's on. So it's just getting a busy signal. So she can't call for help.
Mm-hmm.
She, you know, she grabs the first set of keys she gets to, runs out. It's their truck with a boat attached to it. She's driving away, looking in the mirror. Did he catch up? Did he not? Suddenly, they're on the bridge, and there he is.
And this is when we're firmly in the second movie.
Yes, this is firmly into the second movie phase. You know, we're no longer in the, is she crazy, is she not crazy? Now we're in the Escape from the Killer movie.
Mm-hmm.
The truck goes off the bridge, into the water. They're still fighting. He's trapped. His leg is pinned, but he's not going to let her go either.
Mm-hmm.
Well... The truck hitting into the lake and debris going everywhere dislodges Madison's corpse, which is, you know, conveniently right there. And it floats up and looks at Norman, like turns its head and looks at Norman and grabs him, mm-hmm. allowing Claire to get out. She escapes. We see, you know, emergency services coming over the bridge because, you know, and the movie ends with her at Madison's grave, putting a rose on it and walking away. You know, Norman's dead. She's, you know, everything's fine, but it's a creepy movie.
It is. It's a creepy movie. And the first hour of it is really superbly put together because every little scare really does build on tension.
Yes.
And so it's all this, why is this door not shutting appropriately? Mm-hmm. And you start wondering if she's even shutting herself, but then you watch her, you know, she slams it and it just won't shut. It's whether it's swollen or that's gotten off of its, you know, hinge just a little bit, you know, that she's got to actually slam it in order to get it to shut.
Yeah.
And so later on when it's open again, after we watch her slam it shut, it's like, what? You know, how did that happen? What shifted it over to me was there is a point after she does that and she's had kind of this anxiety episode and she runs upstairs and the camera kind of focuses on her, but the mirror is real prevalent too. And the mirror showing into like their den, office, living room, whatever. And while she's going by, the computer turns itself on.
Yes.
And like, that was the point where it's like, okay, that's no longer is... This is no longer a real quote, you know, unquote. This is no longer a real, is she nuts or not? This is, oh, there actually is a presence.
Yes.
Like that's the shift. What got me and what kind of took me aback is when we find out that the husband is the killer. At that moment, it engages every single slasher movie trope.
Yeah.
In what amounts to the last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, we get the overpowering, we get the monologue, we get the daring escape, we get the fake out death of the husband/killer.
Yeah.
We get the music stinger when he like opens his eyes.
The chase scene.
You know,
scene.
The chase scene with the phone that just won't work and the, you know, all these things. And I'm watching and I'm loving this. You know, I love psychological thriller stuff and I'm loving it. And then we get to that. I'm just like, huh? Well, that turned a corner.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad movie. It's two good movies with a bad segue.
Yeah.
is how I would put it. And I would still recommend it to people because this, to me, it kind of works the same way as the others, the Nicole Kidman Haunted House mm-hmm. movie, where the shift in it is so drastic that it kind of makes you rethink what you see before. I think if I were to watch this a second time, I would be watching, focusing so much more on the husband. What are the clues?
Yeah.
On his end. Because in his monologue, he's talking about, you know, I thought that you had remembered and were just being, you know, the queen of passive aggressive, you know, kind of thing. And so I'd like to see that because Harrison Ford's talented enough that that was probably filtered throughout the whole thing that I saw, but didn't know how yeah. to interpret. Because, not Nicole Kidman, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yes.
Michelle Pfeiffer is able to play this completely straight the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's no scream queen, you know, no. in terms of that, but she does a pretty good job.
Oh, yeah.
Of being right on this. Right on the edge of unhinged.
Yeah.
You know, because she's already, we get the sense in the first 10 minutes at the college that she is already, you know, kind of teetering on that edge.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she's talking to the psychologist, she's like, I already, you know, I take Valium at night for sleep.
Yeah.
You know, because because I have anxiety. Do you only have anxiety at night? I only take the medication at night for sleep.
Yeah.
You know, and so then it raises the questions like, is she being dosed at other times or is she not actually taking the Valium because it's been shifted out to some, you know, is she taking caffeine pills?
Yeah.
Because if you're taking what you think is Valium and instead is caffeine, you're going to be nuts.
Yeah.
So I put this on the watch it, not often.
Yeah. It's not one of those where you have to be in the mood for it, but it's like, yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah. If you were to say, hey, do you want to watch this again? I'd be, uh-huh.
Yeah, just not right now.
Not today. But yeah, go ahead. Watch it. You got nothing to lose by it.
No.
Except 2 hours and 9 minutes of your time.
Yeah. And even you know, then, you're mostly entertained.
You're mostly entertained. You'd probably be completely entertained.
Yeah.
So go for it.
Yep.
My turn?
Your turn.
All right. Yeah, I got some ideas.
Let's do something funny.
I got some different ideas.
Yay!